The offering for Nikki Abels this morning was $718.34. $718.34. Praise God. We'll try to announce that again Sunday morning. Somebody remind me, and if I don't, then pass along the good news. We're excited to help people that are going to help reach the world. Amen. We ain't all going to be able to leave and take off and go around the world, but we can help the ones who can. Amen. By praying and help them and support. So we're glad to do that. It's an exciting thing this morning. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. If you want to title this, put forgiveness. And you wonder why we're going to talk about forgiveness again, because I believe it's probably one of the most needed things in the Christian walk. Amen? I think it's one of the most neglected things, probably, in the Christian walk. I want to show y'all something real quick before we get in that. I'll give you some bonus message here, I guess what you'd call it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 says, "Moreover, brethren, shall trespass. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." I remember when I first went into full-time ministry, I got my paycheck, and it had a note in it. And the note said, if you have issues with each other in ministry, it's full-time ministry, Providence Ministry is the name of it. If you have any issues with anybody in ministry, refer to Matthew chapter 15 and through 18. I thought that was cool. Now, I mean, you would never see that in a regular workplace. They wouldn't hand you out and say, if you got a problem with another person on the job, refer to Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. And if you got a problem with them, go directly to them and share what the problem is. But I thought, what a neat deal, though, because you know what? You want to solve any corporate problem. If you have a corporate situation, a church, a ministry, a plant, any kind of place where you've got a lot of people corporately doing something together, this right here is the fix-all. Now, it never gets done. I'm just going to tell you that. It never happens because it's hard. Because if we have a problem with each other, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, if we have an issue that's bothering us, most of the time we'll tell everybody but the person we have an issue with. Amen, preacher. It's good preaching. Right. Moreover, brethren, but we'll tell everybody. We try to load up on our side, trying to get all the people on our side, and we try to get the other people on our side, but we never tell the person we have an issue with. Wonder why we lose brothers. So it says right here at the end of this, "Hast gained thy brother." If you have you would gain one instead of losing one or brother or sister. Amen. So what do? You do this right here. You reconcile. You go to them directly and say, "Hey, I have an issue." If you feel like you've been sinned against, that means you've got a rules or laws. Amen. And somebody's broke them, and you feel that they have broke them. You go to them and tell them directly. I know that this ain't gonna be shouting and running medicine. This ain't gonna be. You ain't gonna say, "Man, you ain't gonna believe what the preacher said tonight." But I'll tell you right now, this will help a lot of situations. If you're working with people or you have issues, this is what you do. You go to that person directly, especially if there's a right there. Amen. Now check this out. Verse 16 says, "But if he will not hear thee, or she will not hear thee, take thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." Goodness, this is neat, ain't it? Get you two or three people that are solid and go sit down and try to win them again. Hey, why'd you say this? Hey, why'd you do this? Hey, why are you participating in doing this? Can we work this out? I guarantee you, 90% of the time, step one will fix it. And step two will probably fix it too. Amen? But step one and step two is a fit. We don't hardly ever try that. Amen? But then verse 3, or verse 17, the third step. "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." Man, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Now, I just thought it was cool. That just helped you. That's bonus preaching. It didn't cost you anything. But if you have an issue corporately in your family, in a church, in your work, this is how you deal with it. This is how we deal with issues. Golly, bum, we deal with issues just like that. They'll get worked out. Y'all good? Now you want to get in some forgiveness? Jump down to verse 21. I just love there's so much meat in these chapters right here. It'll just blow you away how much knowledge there is in the Word of God. In Matthew 18, totally, there's some stuff in there that will answer most of your life questions. It's good. Verse 21, then came Peter to him, which is Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Now, I know why he asked this question. Somebody had been messing him over. Amen? And he might have said it loud enough to the Lord that he had somebody in the room that had been doing it. Amen? Lord, how many times do I got to forgive my brother? Amen? If he's sinning against me or if he's causing trouble with me, man, this is good stuff. Because sometimes I've asked this question to God. And we think we got the high ground, don't we? Because we're trying to be spiritual. We're trying to be spiritual and we're trying to seem like God's on our side. Everybody wants God on their side, so God's for me and against them. Man, I'm really proud. I know this. I like this kind of stuff. And he throws out a great number. Number 7. Till 7 times. He's trying to be spiritual right there. Because he knew that's God's number. He's like, how many times? 7 times. Because somebody messes you over 7 times, at least by the 8th time you can say, God, I've done put up with him enough. I mean, 7 times, that's complete, right? God, that's your number. Complete, order, completion. Praise God, they've completely made a mess of this relationship with me. You ever been there? I've been there. You count the times. You're on number 4, buddy. I can't wait till I get to number 7 where I can write you off. Get rid of you. Verse 22. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. What? What? You need to make a note right here. How the Lord sees forgiveness and how we see forgiveness. Now, wait a minute. I want you to give you a little context right here because I love the word context and I love how it works with stuff. Jesus is about to tell you that you have to give somebody 7 times 70 every time. What he's saying is you got to forgive them every time. And now the context is this is Jesus talking who's going to die on the cross and forgive us of our sins and trespasses before we ever accept him. Amen? He's going to say, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do, even before he's died, even before he's took his last breath. So he's going to bear out the fact that he'll forgive you a lot more than you can ever imagine being forgiven. Whew, that is good. That's rich. Because I like to know that the God I serve has more forgiveness than I do. Amen? Because in my closed mind, in my narrow mind thinking sometimes, I can forget how much I'm forgiven. Or I can forget how much God lets me be forgiven. Whew. We still don't like the number though, do we? I don't like it. God, we want to be spiritual and say 7. And then God comes over the top. What is that, 490? I'm not a mathematician, but I think that's right. I did it like 6 times before I came here tonight. Man, if I'd have been wrong, I'd acted like it was not bad. But thank you, brother. All right, so I've been verified. 490. So I'm sitting here like the Lord's literally saying, you can keep on and keep on and keep on, and I'm going to forgive you. Because you're mine and I love you. But if you know what the thing is, if you come back and say, I'm sorry, forgive you. I'll forgive you. This is hard to live out, ain't it? Is this hard? Y'all look so spiritual tonight. You all. Brother, I forgive every time. I just offer forgiveness to every brother and sister that talks to me. I just say, I forgive you, and I forget about it. No, you don't. Man, it's all you. Here's how we do it. I've forgiven them, but let me tell you what they did. this. And remember the last time I told them I forgave them? They did that too. Oh God, never mind. I love this. This will burn you down. Because it shows us. It shows us how God does it and how we should do it. So therefore, Jesus is so cool. He is so good, because when he walked with us, he did not do anything but then teach. See, he's making a disciple out of Peter. He's working on him and he's working on us. So right here, he don't continue to go back and forth about Peter's question. He answers the question in a parable or a teaching. Woo! And it's going to get good. Y'all ready? He said, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take an account of his servants. Y'all good? Now, this is not saying this is exact, but this is saying what you can compare heaven to. God will take an account of his servants. God's going to take an account of your life. You will sit before the mercy seat and give an account for every good and bad thing you have done in your life. Now, if you're covered by the blood, good. But some of the stuff that you have done will be hay and stubble. It'll burn up. It was useless. I hate to tell you this, but there's a lot of useless stuff in our lives. We spend a lot of time worrying and complaining and just going over stuff that a lot of times don't even matter. And the stuff that does matter will remain. The gold, the silver, the good, what God's good work, he said, that will remain. Yeah. We're going to feel bad, I guarantee you. I know I am. I ain't even going to pretend for y'all. There's going to be some things when I stand before God, he's going to say, you did a lot of stuff that you shouldn't have done. And that just wasted away. You know what I think bothers the Lord more than anything? It's not sin, because he's covered that. It's our wasted time. Man, have you ever wasted an hour or two and looked back and said, man, I could have done a lot of stuff in that last hour or two. Amen. And I didn't do anything in that last hour or two. I could have read my Bible. I could have prayed. I could have went out and helped somebody. But man, I really just let one just fly by. And some of y'all are sitting here, some of y'all know, them hours, days and years are flying by. I don't know you, but hey, Tuesday, I got a birthday coming up. I'm like, what? 40 what? 44? How did we get here? I mean, goodness gracious. And some of you are going like this. I'd like to trade with you. But I'm just saying, man, it's gone faster than I thought. When he said life is but a vapor, he wasn't kidding. Man, this thing is like screaming. And the young man was like, I can't wait to get this old. I said, shut your mouth. Amen? It'll be here before you know it. I remember when I was young, I was 19, 4 years, that'll be forever. 4 years is a blink. Everything's going to change in 4 years. Nothing will change in 4 years. Oh, never mind, sorry. My hometown, I was so worried about leaving. I don't want to leave my hometown. We had one red light. Guess what, I came back? We still had one red light. I'm going to get out of that. That ain't going to help nobody. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Underline that. And you can write a note beside that and say a whole lot. Amen? Y'all good? Whole lot. That's country thinking for me. A whole lot. He owed him a lot. Yes, 10,000 talents. He owed a lot. 10,000 of anything's a lot. That's just country time. I'm just putting you out there as country. If somebody says, I owe you 10,000, I don't care if it's baby chicks. That's a lot. Amen? All right? But for as much as he had not to pay, so look, just right there, he has nothing to, he can't pay anything. Whatever the talent is, whatever is owed, he can't pay any of it. He had not to pay, his Lord commanded me him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and the payment to be made. When I first read it, I'm like, man, that ain't God. You mean God's going to sell that fella? That's the wages of sin. That's what it costs when you're in unforgiveness. Amen? Okay, before you receive Christ, you owe him a sin debt, a debt for sin, and you can't pay it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Okay? So for the wages of sin is death. That's a debt you can't pay. So your payment would be cast into utter darkness or hell, separation from God, right? And then it says, and his wife and his children. You say, well, why are the wife and children going to pay? Because usually the man is the head of the household or the spiritual leader of the home. So praise God, his wife and his kids are usually following in the footsteps that the father has shown. Amen? Unforgiveness has a way of finding itself in a household. It ain't every household. I'm just showing you that a lot of times you look around, sin costs everything. I wish it just affected me. I wish it just affected Melissa. I wish it just affected... No, if it's sin, it'll eat your whole house up. Amen? That's the first thing God hit me with. You've known about me your whole life, but your wife and kids don't know me. Amen? I was raised in church. I'd heard the message. I knew it. My wife had never been raised in church. She wasn't raised in church. She wasn't took to church. I went to church. When I was a kid, I walked to church by myself. I went to all kinds of churches when I was a kid. Then my dad got saved when I was about 13, and I went no matter what. And it didn't take. I thought it did, but it didn't. Amen. I knew about God, but I didn't know Him. I was living through somebody else's relationship to Christ. Because every time somebody asked me about salvation, I'd say, my dad. Amen. I knew when I got saved. When I got saved, I stopped saying Him, and I said, me. Amen. I never even mentioned His name hardly anymore. I love my dad. I have a great relationship with my dad. God reestablished that relationship, but I don't ever mention Him when it comes to my salvation because He ain't got it, I do. Amen. He got it on. Right? But the good thing about my dad is he showed me the real deal. Because he went from, at the age of 36, he was living, he was a bad man. There is no doubt about it. God got it right when He sent him to death row to minister to people. He hit it right on the head. Because I said, my dad don't really care for nobody. Now he cares for everybody. Okay? So I seen that. I knew what real looked like. I just didn't have it. Y'all good? But guess what? I didn't have it. My dad didn't have it for 36 years. That caused me not to have it because we didn't have any influence in our home. Guess what? I was repeating the process. Christ got in my life. He got in her life. He got in our kids' life. Why? Because I got forgiveness. God, this is better than I thought it was going to be. Amen? You ever get into a good doctrinal forgiveness message and all of a sudden you see God in it? Some of you men in here that have been saved just recently or in the last 10 years, you need to say, thank God. Some of you women too. I wasn't in. I was not in forgiveness. And I was costing my whole family. Well, I was an anchor to mine. I was sinking mine. God told me. He said, you got more blood on your hands than that boy. I was sitting there going, God, hey, what are you talking about? God, men, we don't like to preach like it's 2016. You know what? He holds us accountable more than the women. Husband. You know what a husband is? That word is broke down. House band. It holds the house together. House band. He's supposed to be saying stuff like this. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what the rest of the world's doing. It's what we're doing. You can do whatever. Amen. I don't know how I got there, but that's good. Okay, I know. Verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. No, he can't, and no, he won't. But he got it right. He got it right. Some of y'all need to write that. He got it right. He fell down on his face and tried to make reconciliation with the Lord. Amen? Listen to what he said. God, y'all need to, this is a shouter. Have patience with me. This is what it sounds like. Stop judgment for a minute, Lord, please. Think about this. Hey, help me. I need some patience. I need you to slow down your judgment on me. That's a good thing because God had, right? But man, that's good. That's a good word. Have patience with me. And he goes, I'll do whatever. I'll pay you it all. God knows you can't pay it all. Man, when I was getting saved, I can remember the process. I wanted to tell God I'd chip in on it. Come on, God. I can put some in. He goes, no, you couldn't afford any of it. That's why people come to me and talk to me about, well, I believe in salvation. I believe you earn it. God, you couldn't afford it. One drop of Jesus' blood compared to anything you do is nothing. You better get that right, amen? It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You just get in Him and all the works come from Him, amen? Every good thing I do is because I'm saved by Him and through Him, and that's the only reason I'm doing any work. I'm trying to show my faith by my works. But my faith, my works don't make my faith. That was done at Calvary. Man, I love that kind of stuff. But he's sitting there and he's like, God, have patience with me. I mean, when y'all get saved, when I truly got saved, when I poured out my, I was pretty much trying to disqualify myself. I've told y'all it before. I mean, I was like, God, you want this? God, hear who I am, really? Now, Derek said, amen. But I can tell you my testimony. I can tell my testimony in here. And y'all would like it. Y'all would be like, man, that's real good. But I could tell you some of the stuff I was really thinking, I was really capable of doing, and where I would have went to. Amen? Because when things really get dark, and you don't have no hope, and you don't have Jesus, you can do some bad stuff. In your mind, you can start thinking about, wait a minute, I can do this. It'll probably work out. It might not. Either way, I'm going to get out of this deal. I know, I'm preaching. I know, it's Sunday night, but what are you being all... My God, in here, without Jesus, is a wicked place. Because you start thinking about some stuff. And you can justify just about any sin on the face of the earth. And I ain't bad category. Some of y'all look at me like I'm crazy, but I ain't bad category. Paul did it. Moses did it. Moses killed a man, threw him in the sand. Them Levites had a temper, son. Have y'all ever read about the Levites? This fella, they had their way with their sister, and guess what? They went and they said, let's forgive them. We'll forgive them. Y'all have a good night. Hey, y'all be circumcised. The night they were circumcised, the Levites went in there and killed all of them because they were grown men and just been circumcised. The same guy, I'm sorry. The Levites were bad dudes, man. Why in the world would you make a pastor out of a Levite? Moses was a pastor. He had a temper. He slapped the rock twice. That cost him not to go into the promised land. You know why that's significant? Because the rock was a resemblance or a picture and shadow of Jesus. That's right. And when he hit it twice, God said, you'll not go into the promised land because that resemblance of Jesus will only be hit once. God's good. Amen. Jesus is only going to die one time for all the sins of the world. Amen? So when Moses hit it a second time, God stood up and said, hey, no. You got out of control. You're not going into the promised land. You represent the law. You will be on the outside. Joshua or Yeshua represents Jesus. He will take my people across Jordan and into the promised land. Amen. Good God. That's a whole nother message. So don't ever sit and think, well, I'll do nothing. Here's what you do. You put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and you do for the rest of your life, you try to live it the best you can for Him. Amen. Try to do all you can for Him, and you'll be all right. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, hallelujah, and loosed him and forgave him his debt. Loosed him. Guys, a whole bunch of words in here that you just love to shout on, right? Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Whew. I don't know what moved God with compassion on me, but I'm glad He did. Next word, loosed him. I was bound in sin. You were bound in sin. He had compassion on you and He loosed you. Amen. I've never lived life until I got saved. Amen. And the whole time the devil was trying to convince me that I was living life. But I didn't even have life. But now I got life and I got more abundantly. That's a full life. You can be the most boring person in the world with Jesus and still have a full life. Amen. I mean, somebody said, what, are you doing anything? No, but I got Jesus. Never mind. You'll get that. If you don't understand it, you'll get it one day. Amen? Forgave him his debt. All of it? Yeah, all of it. 10,000 worth? Yes. That's it. Listen, your sin debt is so high and so deep that you couldn't pay it. But when it's forgiven all. Y'all get that? I want y'all to get that right here, because this is an illustration of how heaven is. He said, this is how the kingdom of God is. He's forgiven him all of his debt. So it's paid in full. I love this. Now check this out. Now it's still an illustration. It's still a parable. I want y'all to get that. Then the Lord of that servant was moved. Verse 28. But the same servant went out. God, here I am. You see yourself? Anybody ever see yourself in the Scripture? Don't be honest. Just act like you don't know what I'm talking about. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Gosh! Is that in there? And is that me that I see? I see that guy. God, y'all are so spiritual. I wish I could just spend a day or two with you right down the road. And I wish we could go to some people that really tick you off, where I could see this guy. Because some of y'all are looking at me like, I would never grab somebody by the throat. Yeah. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. Huh? Just like him. Right? Which owed him 100. Now, he just got a debt forgiven of 10,000 of them. And now this guy owes him 100 of them. Golly, that's a little bit compared to a lot. Is that better country talk? I like that kind of thinking. That's where I'm at. And took him by the throat. Where's my money? Why are you driving that way? Well, you said that you disrespected me. Lied to me. Who do you think you are? God, he's spiritual, ain't he? I mean, all of his debts been forgiven. Goodness gracious, that's us sometimes. Over a little bit of things. We'll keep an account. We will be mad. We will want to choke the life out of somebody. And if we don't do it physically, we'll do it verbally or emotionally. I'll cut them out. I'll cut them out of the line. I'll just cut them off. That's how we do, ain't it? I ain't going to talk to them anymore. I'll just not have nothing. I'll just choke the relationship off. Ha ha. How's that feel? What if God had choked the relationship off between you and Him? What if He stops talking to you? What if He stops dealing with your heart? What if He stops giving you mercy and grace? We're so quick. I wish I could tell you that I'd have never... Man, I have to have the... This is why I'm teaching this message again. This is why I'm teaching about forgiveness. Because a lot of times as Christians, we just forget. We just forget that we're forgiven. We're walking around and all of our sin debt is absolutely forgiven, and we're walking around and we're just being offended by everybody who offends us. And we forget the cross. We forget what it costs to pay for our sin debt. So every time somebody does something to us, we don't give them the same forgiveness. Even if they say something like this, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize that. I'm sorry. But you are sorry. But you are sorry. Should be sorry. Never mind. That's too real. We'll just move on right now. But some of us ask you, man, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get that. I didn't mean to let you down. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I didn't mean to do that. Well, you should do something better. Still going to talk about you at dinner with my wife. Right? Amen. I'm still going to let people know I'm ticked off about it. But I mean, I'll forgive you and everything. I ain't going to forget about it. And he would not, verse 30. Oh, is that right? Yeah. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. No. We're way off there, right? Laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have what? Patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same words. Same. Have patience with me. I'll pay it all. And the problem is here is he probably could. I mean, 100? Now, 10,000 is a tough stretch. But he might say, hey, I can get 100 together. I can get a little bit together and I'll get you back. Amen? God, this is so rich. I can't move on off that. I just want y'all to see this. Let's break it down into our terms. All of our sin debts erased with God through His blood. And somebody does something to hurt us, and we don't forgive them the same way. You understand? I know it's simple and it's easy, but I don't want to move off this point because, see, sometimes we forget that we're supposed to give that forgiveness the same way we've gotten it. And I mean, I don't care who, whatever somebody does to you, it's going to be a whole lot less than what happened to Jesus.
Amen.
And your sin debt was unpayable. And see, the other part of this, one part of this message that we're missing right here is that person is, even if they're a brother or sister in Christ, they need to feel that forgiveness because you got the forgiveness. Now I'm going to give it, can I really preach right here? I'm not going to shout, I'm not going to run, I'm just going to give you some real meat right here. One of the greatest tools to winning lost people to the Lord is watching somebody forgive somebody when they don't have to. You understand? Now listen, y'all might disagree with me right here. This is just from me reading the text so many times and really praying over it. I really believe the thief on the cross that got saved only got saved because he heard Jesus say, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they do." I think at that point it registered in his mind that was so illogical. Can y'all stay with me right there? That's illogical. If you've been on a cross and you're being crucified for no good reason other than you just being the King of the Jews, he could never come to it. The other guy could never come to it. He couldn't figure out why this man who's not railing, he's not cussing, he's not fighting against this, and he's saying some things, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden he says, "Forgive them, Father." I believe illogically in his mind he said, "This has got to be something greater because he's forgiven when he shouldn't be." Okay? So there's going to be people listening, I'm preaching, I think I know where I'm at on this. I think I got a firm foundation right here. People that are lost watching your life are going to hear how you deal with people, even people that's done you wrong. And especially over some petty stuff, and you're real petty, and you're real aggravated all the time, and you're spewing that out, people are going to go, here's what they're going to say, and I don't like it, but they're going to say it. I thought you were a Christian. Amen? I mean, if they're always mad and upset and won't ever give nobody an inch or won't budge nobody, then praise God. Why in the world? Why do I want what you have? Well, I know it's tough. I know I set y'all up kind of when this message right here. I know I set you up right there. But, you know, other people are watching us.
Amen.
In this life walk we're going through, in work and community and whatnot. When you say stuff like, "I forgave them." Wait a minute, I think they robbed you out of a debt, didn't they? Didn't they hurt you on like a couple of thousand, a couple hundred? Didn't they lie? Didn't they say something about you and you just forgave them? Well, God's forgiven me a lot. Now, I mean, I might not loan them more money, but I'm going to go ahead and let them go on that deal. And hopefully they'll pay me back. But you hear me? Praise God, I'm telling you, a lost person will sit there and go, they'll scratch their head, Mark, and go, "What in the world is he talking about? Go over there and get your money. Go over and whoop that dude. Go over and do something. Get some retribution." Y'all, never mind. Golly. Now listen, if you think I'm sitting here telling you just get wore out all the time, I'm talking about some just everyday things where you got to let, Christians, we got to let go of some stuff. Has anybody ever rented space in your brain and didn't ever pay no rent? God, I hate that. I mean, they're just sitting there, yeah, thank you, Diane. They're just walking, using the sink, washing clothes. I'm preaching in your mind. Amen? And you say, "I'm just going to forget about them. I ain't going to let it happen." "Hey, Kevin, how you doing?" "Oh, I hate you." Y'all good? Wouldn't it be good to kick that sucker out by just forgiving them? But you don't deserve it, nor did I. I didn't forget forgiving. I didn't deserve any of the forgiveness I got from Jesus. And it probably sets you free. It does set you free. When you forgive somebody, it's almost like you got the keys to your own prison and you walk out of it.
Amen.
God, can I give y'all just a little bit, just a little bit of knowledge, just a little bit of wise advice though, on past that's really not biblical, just a little bit, just please. God, I'll give it to you. Listen, if somebody owed you something or you forgave them and they think you still are mad about it and upset about it, but you're not, but they won't come around you because they still owe you something, that might be a sweet little payoff. God, come on, man. That was pretty good. Come on, man. Just help me out right there. I mean, you know what I'm saying. That's what this guy, he said, hey, you come back. Dude runs off, runs down the road. He's running, hightailing. He goes, what are you trying to catch him for? He owes me $100. He said, he does that every time he sees you? Yeah. He said, dude, that'd be the best $100 you ever spent. Never mind. Don't you come back here. Ever. Now, that was free bonus and probably didn't even belong in that message, but you got it anyway. Just a little bit of worldly knowledge. Amen, just a little bit. Whew, golly. I can't believe I put that in there, but I think it's all right. Whew. Y'all ready? Let's move on. And he would not, verse 30, and he would not, golly, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. My God. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. And his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses. Man, that's just, I mean, golly bomb. In the Lord's Prayer. Right? Lord, forgive me my trespasses, and forgive those who trespass against me. I don't say the Lord's Prayer every time I pray, but I say that a lot. There's some elements of the Lord's Prayer I try to work in about every prayer, but that's one that I always work in. Lord, forgive my sins. And Lord, forgive those who sin against me. You know why? Because I need to learn how to forgive them like you've forgiven me. Because you know what? It ain't going to do you no good. It won't do you any good. Now I'm going to tell you this is the truth. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, and you try to come up here on these altars or your prayer closet and try to get business done with God, you're out of business.
Amen.
You're flat out of business. You might as well be talking to that wood. Because God will say, you know what He'll say? Leave your gift, leave your prayer, leave the problem right here. Go make that right and then come back and I'll be business with you. God stinks. That hurts, don't it? Because I can pray some eloquent stuff, have my heart full of unforgiveness, and know that God can hear what I'm saying, but my mind's still in unforgiveness. And why would He answer? Because He's forgiven you of everything. And here you are holding on to something small. And you say, what if it ain't a small thing? Everything's small compared to your sin in eternity. Everything is. You understand? Golly. I like to preach about forgiveness because it's one of the hardest things as a Christian to do.
Amen.
It's one of the hardest things because we're living in our flesh. And our flesh says fight back.
Yes.
Our flesh says protect yourself. But forgiveness says let them go. You let them go, you let yourself go. Whew. Amen. Let's all stand. Say, come get a song.